we made a halftime adjustment and Joe got benched.
I saw that. Started to kick off instead of receiving.
That's right. We're not deferring this time. Can you talk about just the confidence level that you now see in the, during this three-game streak? And what sort of plays do you see in a game? Are there plays that you see that it kind of manifests itself where you see that's maybe a result of guys just playing with more confidence?
Repeat that question.
Okay. All right, I might get benched.
There's about six in there.
Okay. I can ask for 30 seconds. The confidence level of the team during the three-game winning streak, how do you see that manifesting itself during a game like last night?
I think anytime you win some of those tight games, you feel better about yourself, where you find a way to get it done in the last couple minutes of the game. When you're able to run your four-minute offense the way we did and finish the game when they know you have to run the football, they know you have to get a first down, you're trying to take all the time off the clock, and you're able to run the ball three times and still get a first down. The football team started feeling good about themselves because they knew we had to run it. We knew we had to run it, and we were able to get the first down. So those type of things build a lot of confidence.
You guys were able to get through the game without allowing any sacks against a pretty elite pass rushing group. Curious, because of some of the things you do, I mean, how much praise should be lofted on the offensive line? How much of it's Robert? How much of it is the scheme kind of slowing them down? And what did you make of the pass protection just from your front five?
Well, I think you said it best. Anytime you don't give up a sack, it says a lot about your entire football team. Starts with the offensive line, and it continues, through the rest of the players. It's a group effort. A lot of people have to do the right thing. It might be a receiver running a hot route. It may be a tight end or a fullback with second effort, quarterback getting rid of the football. Combination of a lot of different things. But like you mentioned, they're an excellent front. Very hard to limit them with no sacks. I feel very good about the way our players play.
Go ahead.
I know you didn't want to say much about it last night, but now that you've reviewed the film, any thoughts on the Linville Joseph incident with Will that you'd like to share?
No, not really. It's football. Those things happen. There's a lot of emotion out there. And at the end of the day, I just let those things go, and you kind of fight through it.
Mike, when you guys get on a roll like this, is there any concern that maybe complacency can sit in and set in? And is there anything you can do as a coach to ensure that doesn't happen?
Well, we can't be complacent because we don't have the opportunity to be complacent. Every game to us is like a playoff game. And we understand that, and our players understand that. And, you're hoping that mindset's there, because if not, you're out of it very quickly. So hopefully that's not the case. You've got the character to, persevere.
Coach, is there a difference in the way, after a win like this, that you talk to a team that's been there in this situation before as a group together and a team like this that really hasn't?
Relative to?
As far as keeping them level, keeping them concentrated, mm-hmm.
Well, we try to, do it day by day. We talk about that talk is cheap. What you have to do is prepare yourself. You got to get ready for each game, and our players know for us to beat a football team like Baltimore that we got to take care of business each day. And guys got to prepare, just like we have been all season. You got to play your best on game day. You got to do the little things the right way, but you got to come ready to play. You got to play your best game as a group. Offense, defense, and special teams, and you got to do it for 60 minutes because you got to find a way to win, because if you don't, you're out of it.
Mike, a couple guys after the game last night, Barry Cofield in particular, talked about an us-against-the-world mentality. Is that something that you've tried to foster to motivate these guys, and even in your all of your coaching years, is that something that you've seen as an effective motivating tool, that type of mentality?
Well, it's not really a motivating tool. What you're doing is you're trying to find a way to win. And when you do lose some close games, a lot of times people lose confidence. I've always felt with this group, it's a special group of people. We've lost some players on defense and offense, and as I tell them, that's part of the National Football League. Guys will be replaced. Sometimes it's injury, sometimes it's sickness. But guys have got to step up and play at a very high level when somebody goes down. And it's taken us a while to fight through that, but I have felt that we got a special group of players with a lot of character that play extremely hard. And you know, with that type of character, you feel like you've always got a chance. And I think we're learning how to win, learning how to play our best football in the second half of the season. And that's what you got to do.
Mike, you guys have feasted off of defensive creating turnovers in most, if not all, of your wins. Was it more impressive when you went back and watched tape this morning that you weren't able to create turnovers, yet the defense was able to do what it did in the second half?
Well, yeah, it's, you know, it's a combination of all those things. You know, some days you're going to score 40 points and you got to score 45. Other times you got to score a touchdown and you score, you know, a field goal. It doesn't matter. Each game you got to find a way to win. And I think you're referring to the way our, you know, our defense giving up 8 out of 10 third downs in the first half and, you know, 1 out of 5 in the second half is something we had to do to win that football game. They control the tempo of the game with their possessions, their first four possessions. They did a heck of a job keeping the ball away from us. And in the second half, we've got it. We didn't get any more times, but, you know, we kept them out of the end zone.
Following up on Rich's question about the us against the world mentality, I think you may have the first coaching staff that ever used a salary cap penalty as motivation when facing an opponent. Is that a sign of just how much that still stings and how much it just affected the whole season?
Well, I don't know if any players knew about this salary cap as a motivation. Obviously, it goes out there in the media. I never talked to about that with any of our players. Yeah, it fires me up. Yeah, sure it does. Sure it does.
Mike, you mentioned these guys having character. And I know you said that that's a trait that you wanted to look at when you're bringing guys in here. Why is that so crucial to a team's success, to have guys that, I guess, play the right way and act the right way off the field?
Well, I felt, at least in my coaching career, you know, you can get to the playoffs, but if you want to do something special once you get there, you have to have those type of players, you know, if you want to win it. You know, a lot of times you get to the playoffs and you can win one or two games or three games, but the only team that's happy at the end of the year is a team that wins a Super Bowl. And if you have those guys, you got a chance to do something special. That's been my experience.
Mike, what did you think of the impact that Rob Jackson had in the second half? He had the sack. I think he drew a holding and had another good play. And why was he able to get more rush going there in the second half?
He gave some great effort. You know, he was possessed to put some pressure on the quarterback. I thought he did a good job in the running game as well as a passing game, but my hat's off to him as well as he played, you know, type of desire that he had to make some plays when we needed it the most.
Mike, with your running attack, it just seemed that as Alfred goes on, he continues to just grind out those. What did it say about him? And you talked a little bit about picking up those first downs, but, you know, when you guys needed 2 yards, he got 6, and just the confidence.
Well, you know, we've talked about Alfred. He's a, you know, he's a heck of a young man. He's a great talent. The reason why I mentioned those last three carries, when everybody knows you got to run the football and you can run the football against a defense like that, it tells a lot about your guys in general, where they know you have to run the ball. They know you got to eat up the clock. And if you took a look at those three runs that he had, you could tell that there was a desire there to get the first down that a lot of people won't have. That's second effort. The ability to put a game away. Usually you don't see guys like that as rookies making those type of plays.
Mike, what going back to Rob Jackson for a second, what caused or what prompted your change of thinking in using him on third downs yesterday?
Well, he's got good pass rush ability. We've seen it at times. We needed some more rush than we had earlier and really had confidence that he could get it done, and he showed us he could get it done.
He talked about how Lorenzo is better in coverage than he is. Is that part of your thinking as to why he hadn't played a lot on third downs earlier?
You know, we really don't get into the thinking, you know, during the season why we do different things or different packages, but there's always thoughts there why we use certain guys for certain situations.
Mike, what was your guys' read on London before the game with that ankle? I know you said afterwards it's probably something he's going to be dealing with, wearing that boot all week for the rest of the season. How did you feel about him going into the game and with the game he had. Is it going to be tough to manage him at maybe 60, 70% the rest of the season?
Well, he's one of the few guys that I've, you know, seen play, especially over the last couple of weeks, that I didn't really think could play and played. He's got the ability to play at a high level with all his experience. He's able to feed off of that. And if he's able to go, he's going to play at that high level because that's his mindset.
Along those lines with Trent, he said he was about 60 to 70%. What did you see in him, and what did you think about, you know, just his ability to kind of gut that out as well?
Well, I was really pleased that he was able to go. Anytime you have that thigh injury, you know, it's tough to really loosen up. But I thought he did, and I thought he played at a very high level. We needed him in the game. But he played good enough for us to win, and I was really pleased with his effort and his, you know, mindset that he was going to protect Robert no matter what the scenario was. He's going to, you know, he was going to go out there and give it his best. And for him to last the whole game, you know, told a lot of, to his teammates on what type of mindset he had going into the game.
Like, you were obviously confident with your plan going in, but was any part of you curious to see how and the Giants were going to play differently the second time? So much was made during the week about this was the first time an opponent was going to see this offense twice.
Well, you're never really sure what adjustments people are going to make, you know, relative to, I think when people talk about that, they're talking about some of the option offense, you know, like, are they going to do things a little bit different? When it comes down to playing great defense, you got to play sound defense. And we do a lot of different things in offense, and so if somebody tries to take something away, we feel like we have the ability to go different directions. So sometimes there's adjustments, you know, down the road. But the great defenses that we have faced, you know, through the years, you know, they just play good, solid defense, and you got to out-execute them.
Mike, going back to London for a second, how close was he to not playing?
Like I told you, there's a reason why he's played as many games as he has, because he's going to play if he's no matter what. So I can't give you that percentage. All I told you is I told you last week, never count him out, because you'll probably be wrong.
With Robert, he's made such a high percentage of play-action throws this year. What is it about that that allows him to succeed when you guys do that?
Good running game. Yeah.
Just is there anything about maybe just his vision, the confidence he's able to get from that at that point?
Well, you got to have great vision. You know, you got to be able to read coverages. Usually the big plays come off of play action, you know, if you take a look at it, you know, week in, week out. But also there come situations when you're in a passing situation where you got to out-execute because they know you got to throw the football. You know, so that's part of the learning experience as a quarterback in the National Football League. The more experience you get, you know, the better you get in passing situations because you know all the coverages, all the different adjustments. And I really think Robert's done a heck of a job of making those adjustments to the National Football League.
Going back to Trenton and London, when you have guys who do play like that, what kind of impact do you think that they have on their teammates just from these guys watching them, what they go through? How does that? What's the trickle-down effect of that?
Well, your captains, your leaders, you know, they have to set the standard for your team. And you expect your veteran players to not only play at a very high level, but have the mindset of your captains. And when you got leaders like that, you know, you are going to play hurt. You are going to play for 60 minutes. You know, when your back's against the wall, you know, you've got to step up and do the things that give you a chance to win. And when you play a team like the Giants, who's, you know, a very talented football team, you know, there's going to be a lot of turning points in the game. You just got to keep on fighting.
Some of your players say they noticed maybe some confusion or tentativeness on the part of the defenders as you guys threw the pistol formation, things like that. What did you see out of the Giants as they were trying to get a beat on what you're trying to do?
Very, very tough team, very well coached, very disciplined. Everything you got, you had to earn, both in the running game and the passing game. You know, one of the reasons why they've been so successful.
Mike, what are your thoughts about facing the Ravens, and especially given the heartbreaking loss they suffered last week?
Well, you know, they've got an excellent record. You know, they're obviously a franchise that has had a lot of success here. And, you know, for us, like we've talked about, our mindset is, you know, getting ready for them. We got to play our best football, you know, to beat a team like that. And our players are well aware on how good they are.
I guess to go back yet again to Trenton, London, when these guys are hurt, in a situation that they're in, how much do you guys worry about them not only further injuring themselves, but maybe, you know, if one of these guys is at 50%, at what point is that more of a disservice to the team than to actually help everybody else when they're out there?
Well, I tell a guy like, you know, Trent. I mean, London kind of knows that. He's been around for a while. He knows there's a difference between playing hurt and injured. Injured, you can't play. You can't help your football team win. A guy like Trent, I gotta really watch him because, you know, Trent was going to go out there no matter what. You know, he's a young player. You know, he's a tough player. But you got to evaluate him, seeing if he's helping your football team. And when I was watching him, especially early in the game, you could see that he was playing at a high enough level to help your team win. Sometimes you've got to be careful. Sometimes guys will want to go, and they're out in the third or fourth play of the game, and you're dressing 46 guys, but now it's 45, especially with offensive linemen. You know, do you dress seven or do you dress eight? And so when a guy says he can go, he's got to convince me that not only can he play, but he can play for the whole game.
Mike, can you describe for us the process of making adjustments at halftime? How does it work in terms of coaches making decisions and implementing that and maybe receiving feedback from players in the short amount of time you guys have in the locker room?
Well, you have pictures after every play. So each series you get, you know, four different views. You know, you got sideline, you got end zone. So you get a chance to see what a team's doing defensively and offensively relative to the formations and, you know, how they adjust to it. So what you try to do in the second half is put together a plan that gives you a chance not only sometimes attack schemes but attack personnel and try to come up with your – from an offensive perspective, usually we go 8 to 10 plays and we'll script those so guys got an idea what we're doing there in the third quarter.
How challenging is that in the short amount of time that you guys have?
Well, it's challenging, but you know, you deal with it all the time. So usually get out of the locker room with 5 minutes left. You got about about 3 or 4 minutes to, you know, put your ideas on the board, communicate with the assistant coaches, and then present them to the team. So everything's done within, you know, 6-7 minutes.
Is it fair to say that that's a very busy process? I mean, people are calm and focused in that situation?
Yeah, very much so.
You've got 3/4 of the way through the season. Robert has 4 interceptions, which is tied for best in the NFL mm-hmm. with a guy named Brady. What is it about his, you know, first of all, are you surprised, you know, that he has so few? Second, what is it in his play that makes him protect the ball so well?
That's a good question. Yeah, it doesn't happen very often where a young quarterback or rookie comes in and has few interceptions as he's had. You know, it's a combination, I think, a lot of things. Number one, he picks things up very quickly. He's got the arm strength to make all the throws. When he does see somebody open, he can get that ball there in a hurry. Not everybody can do that. But I think it's kind of a feel for the game, too. You know, you got to have a feel. One of the reasons why he didn't throw a lot of interceptions in college, because he had a great feel. When you take a look, his touchdown interception ratio is off the charts. And most people can't do that in the NFL, but he's been able to do that, and hopefully he can continue it. A lot of times you have those bad days. I've been with some great quarterbacks that have a 4 or 5 interception day, and you know, you'll have it a couple times early. It just, you know, it's part of the growth pattern. But he's been able to really handle himself well and stay within the confines of the system and do a great job.
Mike, did everybody else besides London and Trent make it through health-wise okay, and also with the extra time in between Thanksgiving and last night, were you guys able to get any advance work with the coaching staff on Baltimore, or is that all done starting today and moving forward?
I'm sorry, what was the first part?
About health-wise, everybody else besides...
Yeah, we got a couple guys banged up, but I don't think anybody that will miss a game or maybe miss a practice or two. I won't say that until, you know, Wednesday when I know for sure. But, you know, London and Trent are the obvious guys. You know, anything else?
Coach, were you guys as a coaching staff able to get any advance work done before today, just with the extra time in between the Dallas and New York games?
What I like to do is have each coach kind of do his own thing. You know, like for me, I get up early on Monday, spend about the first, you know, 6-7 hours looking at Baltimore. And then, you know, you spend the rest of the afternoon kind of isolating on your game plan, you know, for the Monday night game. And some coaches worked on it Saturday and Sunday. But you gotta have a day of, looking at your film, going through your scouting reports and all those type of things, because you just can't do it in one day. You just can't come in here Tuesday and get ready for a game. It's just too hard, you know. So a lot of coaches do it different days, but it's done.
Coach, does the tragedy that happened in Kansas City, mm-hmm. does that make you take a closer look at the emotional state of some of these individuals? And did you reach out to anybody in that organization that you know?
I was talking to Brian about, you know, the situation there. And, you know it's really, you know, I've dealt with, a couple deaths while I've been coaching. It's everybody kind of handles it a different way. I did not talk to anybody in the organization. But if you've been through that situation, it was really, really a tough time in an organization when something tragic like that happens. And, your heart goes out to them. But, you know, everybody will persevere. They'll work through it.
Following up on that, just from your expertise as a coach, they decided to go ahead and play the game. And that often happens with personal players and coaches with undergo personal things, and they still play the game. Is that just a product of just soldiering on and doing what you do, a therapeutic thing, or along those lines?
Yeah, I think so. I think that even though there's a time to grieve, that people say, hey, maybe can occupy your mind for at least a few hours. You know, I kind of get away from that grieving process if you can, but. There's not an easy way to deal with it. I mean, I've dealt with it a couple of times, and it's as hard as it gets, especially when you're very close to somebody. But like we said, it's something that you got to work through. It's part of life. You got to – nobody likes it, but sometimes I think it's therapeutic.